Turn together for our text this morning to the second book of Kings and chapter 5. In verse 3 we read those words, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." I suppose if our occasion of being here this morning had been planned a greater time in advance, I would have sought to be looking for some particular address this morning which would meet such an occasion as this. But in that inscrutable and exact providence of God, it has fallen out that this is the passage that I would have been preaching upon if we had still been at the upper room this morning. And I find it most appropriate for the occasion, because as we meet together in this place this morning, it must surely be upon our hearts the challenges of the situation in which we find ourselves, and the most important considerations that have gone through our minds in this connection. That the building is not an end in itself, but a means whereby we might maintain the worship of God in this place, to the end that he might be glorified by our owning of him and professing him, and also to the end that sinners might be saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through coming to him. And we have a wonderful story before us this morning in connection with this young girl who was a maid in the household of Naaman. And there's so much that we can learn from her which is exactly fitted to the situation in which we find ourselves in these days, and with this particular opportunity, this open door, as we would see it, that has presented itself in the goodness and providence of God. It pleased God that his prophet Elisha should have lots to do with all sorts of boys and girls. We can't go into them all this morning. But like the Lord Jesus Christ himself, Elisha was a man who was interested in children as well as adults. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ loved the children. He loved to have them about him. He took the infants in his arms and he blessed them. He used children as examples to teach his disciples important spiritual lessons. You remember that when Jairus' daughter died, he raised her from the dead. And so in the gospel record, we have so many accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ and his dealings with children. And I'm glad this morning that this particular passage presents to us children better than those that are mentioned a little earlier in chapter 2. I just remind you of what happened on that occasion where there were those children who came out and they mocked the prophet, didn't they? They didn't want to listen to him. They didn't want to honor him as the servant of the Lord who brought the word of God. And we have those words there in 2 Kings chapter 2. And verse 23 and 24. "And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. And he turned back, and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tare 40, and two children of them." Such was the anger of God against their pride and their effrontery, not merely against his prophet, but against him. The God who is gracious, the God who is kind, the God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is the God who hates iniquity and who punishes sin. So I say, I'm glad that we're here in 2 Kings in chapter 5 with a girl who was indeed like a pearl among swine, so precious and radiant in comparison with many of the children of her own day, who, alas, were ungodly and even mocked the Lord and his prophet. So notice, first of all, in connection with this young girl, how beautiful she was. We're told that in verses 2 and 3. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, you might think for a moment that the preacher has lost his senses. Surely people would say, well, there's nothing here about her hair color. We're not told here anything about her complexion. We're not even told about her garments. How can you come to the conclusion that she was so beautiful? Well, very simply, by looking at her character as opposed to her outward appearance. We are in a generation so preoccupied, are we not, with that which is outward. But the Lord is interested in what is inward. And when Samuel went to anoint the king in the household of Jesse, when his eldest son came, the prophet concluded, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. But the Lord says, no, this is not the one. For the Lord looks not on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Now, it's right and proper that we should come decently dressed to the house of God, have our best clothes for such an occasion as his worship. But we know that what is important to the Lord is what is within our heart. And he who walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, whose eyes are as a flame of fire, he's looking into our hearts this morning, isn't he? To see what is there. Are we beautiful in his sight this morning, dear friends, like this young girl? How gracious she was. She was a captive. She had been taken from her own land, taken from her home, and from her parents. And you youngsters here this morning would surely realize what a terrible thing that would be. Taken from your own home where you belong, from your parents, from the land where you have lived all of your life up till now. Taken away from these things and carried away into an exile, working in a stranger's home. She might have been full of resentment, might she not, against her captors. But she was not. That was not her attitude. She had a spirit like the Master himself, whom you remember when they crucified him. His prayer was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oh, for a disposition like this youngster this morning. How obedient she was. And this is a great test to us all, is it not? But we read concerning her, she waited on Naaman's wife. Notwithstanding what had happened to her, and the fact that she might have been so distressed at what had taken place, that in her young and tender heart might have turned to resentment and bitterness, she gets on with the job that Providence had decreed for her. If this was the place where God would have her to be, then she would be there cheerfully getting on with what God had given her to do. And how often we face that in life, do we not? Whether we are children or whether we are adults, we're faced with this, are we not? That we find ourselves in situations of life that perhaps we'd rather not be in, with awkward people in places of employment and so on. And perhaps we would rather that we were not there. But we bring ourselves to our senses with the reminder that God is in control of all things. And exactly the place where we find ourselves, with exactly the people among whom we labour, that is where God would have us to serve, and that is where God would have us to be and to serve him. It might not be what her parents had designed for her and would have for her to do. It might not have been what she expected the shape of her life would take. And it is often like that in life. For there are many twists and turns in the road, are there not, that we do not expect. But as long as we are spiritually in that straight way, these various changes and unexpected things are not going to overturn our faith. And so this youngster gets on with what God had assigned for her to do. The washing of the pots, perhaps. The sweeping up, perhaps. We're not told the details. But I hope the children here will remember how she got on with waiting on her master's wife. No grumbles, no complaints are recorded here. The tasks that were assigned to her were complete. She was there, was she not, as a servant of God. How we need to be like her. How kind she was. What respect and care in those words. Such a short statement. Where she says to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet," that is in Samaria, "for he would recover him of his leprosy." She might have hated Naaman. He was her captor. But she does not. She sees his high position in the land and the possessions that he has in his house. But she does not envy these things. What a generation of envy we live in, dear friends, do we not? Such covetousness. People wanting more and more. People wanting what other people have got. Not satisfied until they increase their possessions and so on. And we can learn, can we not, from this young girl. She's there in this household of this mighty man in Syria. No doubt there would be plenty of good things to enjoy there, relative to and reflecting his position in life. But there is no envy with this youngster, but rather a sympathy whereby she sees the need of this man. She's not preoccupied with these outer trappings of life. She sees the problem and the need. As one has put it, Naaman was as great as the world could make him, and yet the basest slave in Syria would not change skins with him. For he was a leper. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, she says. For he would recover him of his leprosy. Oh, how we need to be like this youngster. How full of fear. The things that have happened to her, her being taken away from the promised land, from the midst of the people of God, have not caused her to forget the things of God. That God has his prophets to teach the truth. And that God is a God of power who is able to do great things. And so as she sees the need, she thinks of recovery. And the way in which God has the answer to the needs of poor mortal sinners. And as we look out, dear friends, from this building, how full of faith we need to be. That the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has the answer to the needs of the people that are round about us in this place. Needs that are so obvious day in and day out. Would God our hearts might respond. Would God who is almighty and so gracious and so good, grant that many of these folk would come and hear his word. Well, we say she was beautiful. We've no idea what she looked like. But in her heart, we find the beauty of the Lord. How blessed we are when the beauty of the Lord is upon us. Now, secondly, in connection with this youngster, I want us to notice how honored she was. What, you say? Where did our preacher get this from? She is a captive. She is a domestic servant. How can we start to talk about honor in connection with her? Surely we could do so in relationship to Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, as he is described, a great man with his master and honorable. But no, we say with respect to this youngster, how honored she was. Because faith is never in vain. God himself says, those that honor me, I will honor. And so he does. We see in connection with this youngster that she was honored by the word of God. Look at verse 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. The story as it unfolds is that, having heard what this youngster from Israel had to say, one had gone to Naaman and told him what she had said. And consequently, it was of interest to him that there could be an answer here for him. And the king of Syria likewise considers this to be a good move. He writes this letter to the king of Israel. He sends his servant Naaman, the captain of his host, to the king of Israel with a great sum of money and all of these garments. And the message was this: now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. The king could not see his way clear to do that. He had not the strength of faith of this lass. But when Elisha, the man of God, hears of it, he sends this message to the king: let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. We see an exact correspondence between the word of this young girl and the word of the prophet himself. There is not a syllable of contradiction between what she has said and what he says. And he is a prophet of the Lord, and he speaks by the Spirit of God. So we know that this is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord himself. And when we see this exact correspondence between the word of the Lord himself with what this young girl has said, we see how greatly honored she is by the Lord. Was she not exactly right? Because she relied upon God's character. She knew what her God was like. And because she knew what her God was like, she knew what her God could do. Isn't it wonderful to have an understanding of the character of God? In that book of Revelation, we just read from the book of Revelation there this morning. But in that book of Revelation, we keep getting taken, do we not, into heaven. And the Apostle John in vision is able to see what is taking place in heaven. And in heaven there is a perfect understanding of the character of God. And we find such praise as the Lord God omnipotent reigns. You see, in heaven they know, whether they be angels or whether they be the spirits of just men made perfect, they know the truth with respect to the character of God. They understand his sovereignty, that he rules over all. He is the King of kings. They understand his power, that he is almighty, that what he wills, he is able to perform. How we need to be refreshed, do we not, in our sense of the character of God. As we face the challenges that this very place where we are meeting this morning places upon us. For there is room for so many more saints. And we certainly want them to be there, occupied by people. But who is sufficient for these things? And we do not trust in the arm of the flesh, but we look to the God who is the God of omnipotence, the God who is almighty. No others in the household of Naaman could see the prospect for his healing, but this girl could. Because she worships a God who is able to do far more exceeding abundantly above all that we may ask or think. She was exactly right, because she appreciated the institutions of God. The man of whom she speaks is the prophet of the Lord, one that he has appointed. How we are seeing the institutions of God under attack in our own day. Even that one which is from the beginning, the institution of marriage between one man and one woman until death should part. We see these things under attack. And we see Christians losing their employment for making a stand for them. But this young girl, she understands that the things of God are precious. The institutions of God are precious. And they have meaning for the days in which we live. The prophet of the Lord derives his authority not from himself, but from the Lord himself. And so she has confidence that he will be able to respond to this man's need. And she was exactly right, because she relied upon God's word. A word seems to be such a powerless thing in the midst of a battlefield full of tanks with fighter jets flying overhead and missiles and so on. A word seems to be such an utterly insignificant thing. And yet this is the amazing aspect of the work of God in the midst of a world of sin, that he's using a word to bring about such changes as no other power upon earth can produce. You here who are saved, think how it was that you came from darkness to light, from bondage to liberty, from misery to joy. Was it not by a word? By the hearing of the message concerning God's grace in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful word concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was known for great miracles that he performed. He who had the reputation of being the friend of sinners. He who had died upon the cross at Calvary. And why so? When we look at the apostles' word, their testimony, their preaching, it is full of Christ and what Christ had done in his life and what Christ had done in his death and how he had given himself as the substitutionary lamb in the place instead of sinners to make peace by the blood of his cross. How he really and truly died. He who upon the cross said, "It is finished." He finished that work of atoning for sin. He died, he was buried, but it was not possible that he should be held by death. Death had no claim upon him, who was wholly harmless and undefiled. And on the third day he rose again from the dead. And they were preaching a risen Saviour who was able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him as the great high priest of his people after the order of Melchizedek. Just as surely as we know that we do not believe in Jesus Christ in vain, for he is Emmanuel, God with us, this youngster knew that her confidence in God, his character, his word, his institutions, was not misplaced. If her master were with the prophet of the Lord, he would be able to answer to his need. And God was pleased to honor her testimony by adding to it his own word through his prophet. Send him to me. Let him come now to me, says the prophet Elisha. And you see, she was honored by the word of the Lord. We see also that she was honored by the work of the Lord. For in that 14th verse, we read that Naaman, when eventually prevailed upon by his servants, he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And look what happened. His flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. As he looked at his own hand, he must have been amazed. For that which he thought would never happen, that he would be healed, had taken place. And would he not think that this cleansing would never have come about if it had not been for that youngster in his home who had said what she said that day? Exactly what she had desired for her master came to pass. Exactly by the instrumentality that she had identified, the prophet of the Lord. And I say to you, was she not honored? Was she not honored that day when Naaman emerged out of the waters of Jordan with his flesh as a little child cleansed and restored? To remind us that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has perfected praise. The children acquainted with God's word and works can be used by him to impart true wisdom to the glory of his name. And I say to the children here, don't put up serving the Lord and following the Lord till you're grown up. Don't get the idea that what we do here this morning is just for adults. Don't get the idea that Jesus Christ is not interested in you and in your soul. But put your trust in him. Because you see from this little maid how greatly God can be magnified as a result of the works of wise children. Now I conclude with this third point. That we adults must see how much we have to learn from her. I take you back to the king of Israel. How sad that here this man who should have known better was full of unbelief. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, that's the letter from the king of Syria, seeing his sent Naaman his servant, in order that he might be cleansed of his leprosy. It came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes, he tore his clothes, as a sign of sorrow and distress, and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Alas, alas, for his ignorance of spiritual things. But it is so easy, is it not, to be like that, in a position of responsibility and power and rule. Because our rulers get so used to having to respond to such a variety of problems that afflict a nation, that they come to the conclusion that they themselves, out of their own resources, are the ones to answer to the need. What folly on the part of this king, that he did not stop to think that there was in Israel an answer to this man's need. How lax he must have been, this king, in connection with spiritual things, when he could have honored God and his word by saying, Oh yes, we have the answer, I know. We will send you to the prophet of the Lord, and he will be able to recover you from his leprosy. Why did he have so little confidence in the minister of God that he utterly failed in this particular situation, rather imputing evil and instilling unnecessary fear in his own heart, instead of responding as a king of Israel should have responded? What a contrast between his unbelief and this girl's fear. And I trust that you can see where we need to be standing this morning. Not with the king in his disbelief, but with this maid in her faithfulness to God and in her faith in God. And what about Naaman? Poor chap. He was so full of pride, wasn't he? We read there in verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, that's to Naaman, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He says, Are not our own rivers better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? Look how sad a state his soul was in. He turned and went away in a rage. Oh, he wanted to be rid of that leprosy. He would be clean, but not in God's way. Sad to say, he has millions of imitators today. They do not want to go to hell. They do not want death to devour them. They want some kind of answer with respect to their soul's need, but they do not want God's way in connection with those needs. The Apostle Paul faced it, did he not, with respect to many of his own countrymen. My heart's desire for them is that they might be saved, he says. For they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. They're trying to save themselves by their own good works. And that's an impossibility, because by deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The Apostle Paul could see that they needed the grace of God, the unmerited free favour of God, undeserved in any way by man, the stretching out of an empty hand to take the abundance that God is pleased to bestow. Too proud for it? Couldn't accept it. That they had to receive as a gift, without any payment on their part, without any works on their part, they had to receive as a gift this wonderful salvation of God. You see, God's covenant for the salvation of sinners is a covenant of grace. It is all of God's free and undeserved favor. A prophet cries, come to the waters by without money and without price. The answer is provided. There is a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. What are sinners doing seeking to wash elsewhere, as Naaman was prepared to do? For there is but one place that cleansing can be found. What a lesson was there for this proud man, Naaman. How he would thank God in future days that his servants prevailed upon him to do precisely what the messenger of the Lord told him to do. And when he did, he was healed. And there is Elisha's own servant there, Gehazi, so full of covetousness. The possessions that his own master had refused, in the interests of the honor of God, he himself would possess for his own satisfaction. It led him to falsehood, to profanity, and to terrible consequence. The leprosy of Naaman cleaved to him and to his seed. He went out from the presence of the prophet a leper. Such was his folly. Well, what warnings here, dear friends, in connection with this lovely little girl, for we adults as well as the children here this morning. From her we learn that adversity will have a blessing in it for believers. A lesson that we so often forget and causes us to be so downcast and dispirited in the way. But when wonderful good can come out of great afflictions and difficulties, surely we can see things in a different light. Perhaps up till this day, over the past year or so, there have been plenty of difficulties in your home, intensifying perhaps over these past weeks as the devil himself seeks to put as many spokes in the wheel as he can to prevent the work from going forward. Of this we are sure, from the example of this little girl, that those who trust God will be able to honour God, and he will be magnified. Naaman returned home transformed. Yes, he looked different, but more importantly, he was different. His heart had been changed. He had a new heart. And the little maid would find that her master returned, not only cleansed of his leprosy, but a brother in the faith of her God. And would it not be confirmed in her heart that her God indeed was great and gracious. I would not encourage you to distraction, but just look around these walls this morning, and will you not be persuaded that God is great and gracious, and go on in his service from this day with a renewed vigour and earnestness of soul, mindful of a little lass from long ago who brought about such changes by believing in God.